Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today's gospel picks up exactly where we left off last week. Remember last week, we had the great story of the multiplication of the loaves? And in that story, we learned a valuable lesson that story closely mirrors our Mass. More to it, we learned about the loop of grace. We saw the loop of grace with Jesus and the apostles. Well, we also learned, too, that we experience that same loop of grace with God every time we come to Mass. Okay, good. So, in today's gospel, Jesus, he dismisses the crowd, and he sends the apostles ahead of him in a boat. And then it says that Jesus went up the mountain to pray. Now, that was a typical day in the life of Christ. Jesus, every day, he prayed to God the Father. Now, typically, Jesus would get up early in the morning, go to a deserted place by himself, and pray to the Father. So, prayer was a critical element in Jesus' daily life. Well, it should be for us. Prayer is indispensable in the spiritual life. We can't do it without it. Prayer essentially opens up the window to our soul, and in doing so, we can receive all of God's graces and blessings. But also, it helps us to truly believe and understand the presence of Christ in our life and act upon it. So prayer should be important for us. There's no way that we can say, well, I pray when it's convenient or when I have time. You know, that's not going to do. It's like a husband and wife saying, you know, I talk to my spouse a few times a month, but we have a really strong marriage. Well, you're just kidding yourself. It's doomed for failure. So too with prayer. We have to be people of prayer, praying every day and many times a day, if need be. So if prayer was crucial for Jesus, it should be for us every day. Now we find out the boat the apostles are in is being tossed about by waves. Now we all know travel in the ancient world was dangerous, but travel by sea was even more dangerous. A great example of this is St. Augustine. In his book, The Confessions, you know, there's a segment in his book in which he talks about his travel by sea, in which he has to go from Africa to Rome. So he has to cross the Mediterranean Sea. Now, before he makes that journey, he makes out his will. That's how dangerous it was to travel by sea in the ancient world. Now, ships basically would sail parallel to the coast. There is a number of reasons for that. First of all, they didn't have GPS or very good nautical maps, so it was easy to get lost in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. More to it, the ships essentially didn't have radar like our ships do. They cannot see over the horizon and be able to see storms and act upon it. And so they would sail parallel to the coastline, and if a storm did kick up, they would immediately go into a harbor for safety. So it all makes sense. Now take it symbolically. These waters are the waters of chaos. Now go to the story of creation, the very beginning. You have the Holy Spirit brooding or hovering over the waters of chaos. And when God masters that chaos, he begins creating. Fast forward to the story of Exodus. Moses, he gathers the Israelites, he's leading them out of slavery in Egypt, and he comes to the obstacle of chaos, the Red Sea. And God, since he has master over chaos, parts the Red Sea. And the Israelites go through and are freed, liberated. Well, essentially, what we see in this story is how God masters the chaos in this world, especially the chaos of sin and death. Now, stay with the apostles in the boat. They represent the church, right? If you ever go to Europe, you know, look at some of the beautiful ancient cathedrals or churches. They're shaped like boats. You know, some examples, Notre Dame, or Chartres Cathedral in France. You know, these are buildings specifically designed to look like boats. You know, the church sailing through the centuries with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, our church has been tossed about with chaos. I'll give you some examples. The first 300 years of our church, the great persecutions. The apostles were systematically hunted down and killed. Many of the popes during that time were assassinated. A few hundred years later was the Great Western Schism, in which our church was cut in half. The eastern part of the church became the Eastern Orthodox Church. The western part was the Catholic Church that we know today. A few hundred years later was the Reformation, in which Catholics broke off and they started their own Protestant churches that we know today. Just look at the 21st century. The 21st century alone had the greatest number of martyrs than any other century, and that was primarily due to World War II and the Nazi concentration camps. Now go back to the story. Jesus, he comes to them. It says it's the fourth watch. Well, it's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., the darkest part of the night and the worst part of the storm. That's when Jesus comes to rescue the apostles. Now, Jesus is walking on the water. Well, symbolically, Jesus is claiming lordship over the chaos in this world, especially the chaos of sin and death. And that's what he's trying to teach the apostles and us. Now, the apostles immediately become afraid. They think he's a ghost. And Jesus calls out to him and says, "Take courage, it is I. It is I." Boy, does that sound familiar. You know, go back to the story of Moses. He encounters God on top of Mount Sinai in the form of the burning bush. God commissions Moses to be the next leader and the prophet to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt to the promised land. Moses is about to leave, and he turns around and he looks at God and he says, "Okay, if the people ask your name, what am I supposed to say? What is your name?" And God says to Moses, "Tell them, I am." Well, this is the same response here. Jesus now is revealing himself to be God, and he is God. God who has master or lordship over the chaos, especially the chaos of this storm. Now take it to a personal level. All of us at some point in time in our life have experienced some type of personal chaos, maybe poor health, an unexpected diagnosis, maybe anxiety, depression, maybe relationships, strained relationships at home with relatives, maybe friends, neighbors, coworkers. Whatever it is, we've all experienced some sort of chaos in our life. Well, Jesus is now going to teach us how to overcome that chaos and even walk over it. Now, Peter, he yells out to Jesus, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you." Jesus says, "Okay, yeah, come." Now, Peter, he gets out of the boat and his whole attention is riveted on Jesus and Jesus alone and no one else. His whole life is ordered to Christ, his heart, mind, his soul, his will, and his intellect. And so what happens? Now, in the presence of Christ and with the power of Christ, Peter begins to walk on the water. Peter is now walking over the chaos of this world because of the power and the presence of Christ in his life. I'll give you a good example of what I mean by this. Many years ago, I was able to get to know a parishioner. She was a young woman, maybe in her 30s, and she was suffering from MS, severe MS. Her arms and her legs were both contracted to the extent that she couldn't move. She was bedridden. She was living in a nursing home. In fact, nurses had to move her from time to time in her own bed. She couldn't do it herself. But she was also experiencing extreme pain from this MS. I would visit her every week for over a year. Now, every time I visited her, she never complained about her illness. She never complained about the intense pain. No, she always wanted to talk about God, God's presence in her life, and how that presence gave her peace and joy. And better yet, because of God's presence in her life, that gave her the power, you know, to overcome her illness. Well, that's a great example. You know, that woman is walking over the chaos of her illness of MS. Because of the presence and the power of Christ in her life, She was walking over that chaos. She wouldn't allow that illness to get the best of her. And so that essentially is what Jesus is trying to teach us. Because she had that power and presence of Christ, she walked over that illness and overcame it. Now, Peter, next in the story, it says he looked away. Well, Peter no longer is attentive to the presence of Christ. He's now paying attention to something else in this world. The wind, the waves, the rain, whatever it is, and he starts sinking. Well, of course. If we are no longer attending to Jesus in our life, we're paying attention to something else in this world. If our life is ordered to no longer Jesus, but to something else in this world, whatever it may be, yeah, we're going to sink. You know, we're going to feel a sense of hopelessness and despair. And then, yes, that chaos, whatever it is in our life, it will get the best of us. But if that really does happen to us, notice what Peter does. He called out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." Now, I find that interesting. You know, the apostles are right behind him in the boat. He could have easily turned around and said to the apostles, "Throw me a line, pull me in, or bring the boat around and pick me up." No, he immediately went to Jesus and said, "Lord, save me," because he knew deep down Jesus Christ was the only one that could save him from sinking into that chaos. Well, the same thing holds true with us. Even if we no longer are paying attention to Christ, well, when we start sinking, we have to call out to Jesus too. We call out to him in prayer, in the Eucharist, in confession, the virtuous life. We call out to him to save us. And he will. Just like Peter, he'll grab us by the arm and pull us out of that chaos. Now, one last thing. They get back into the boat, and Jesus says to Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, I don't think Jesus is ridiculing Peter and trying to make an example of him in front of the rest of the apostles. I think what he's really trying to tell Peter is, why did you take your attention away from me? You know, how come your life wasn't ordered to me, but instead to something else in this world? You know, I think that's the great lesson that Jesus is trying to teach us. Jesus declares lordship over the chaos of this world, but also in our life. And through the presence and the power of Christ in our life, we too can walk over the chaos that is in our life, whatever it may be, because of that power and the presence of Jesus Christ. Therefore, order your life, heart, mind, and soul, your will and intellect, always to Christ. And yes, we too will be able to master the chaos in our life. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.